Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's going to be a very short and sweet. We're in a pub right by Westfield. It all feels it's a very strange setup. You've heard me moan about this before. What I did like, there was a West Ham fan at the bar. Someone had done an awful fart and he went really bad, like someone had died. And then the bloke went to the barman, "Can I have a pint of Guinness and an air freshener, please?" And that did make me laugh. So we've just had a great chat that I haven't recorded. Apologies for that. I really hope we fucking beat him though. And late breaking news, we got informed, and I hope he's not injured. I hope it's just he's being told he can go away and have a week's holiday after playing every game this season. Is we haven't got Luke Shaw on Thursday anymore. We've now got an interview with Ahmad, so that'll still be good. I was interested, I was a bit gutted, but Ahmad, so we've still got an interview to come. Right, say your name.
I'm Ian.
How do you feel?
Well, cautiously optimistic. I think there's no reason why we shouldn't take 3 points tonight, but Jared Bowen is my big
problem.
He
might be out though, mightn't he? There was rumours he might be injured, which they might have 3 players out.
Well, I would take that gratefully.
You're missing Europe, you were saying.
I'm missing Europe. The European aways, it's painful not to be away in Europe this year, but I have got so much optimism to be back there next year.
What have you done with your time?
Jigsaw puzzles, played a few games of chess. Come on, we need to be back in Europe.
That's too much, chess. What I liked, say your name, mate.
Brinko.
We were just talking about how Carrick's, listening back to the podcast on Saturday, the intelligence, like the tactical, the tweaks he was making, and Match of the Day really showed it up well, like that he could make the in-game where Cunha gets so much space and Bremo pulls players, so that gave Bruno so much space. And you know, sometimes you're caught up at the game in the emotions of that you don't really, you see it, but you don't see it well enough. And I thought that was fantastic. So it made me, come on, you know, where are you with it all?
So, Carrick, he just seems to be making it simple, right? And that's what we've missed for so long. I think with Amorim, it's overcomplicated. He was so stubborn. In my opinion, he didn't care enough about winning games. He was more obsessed with his system. So, I'm glad he's gone.
Where do you stand on, are you going to wait till the end of the season or...?
I listened to an interesting podcast the other day that said if we get into Champions League, Carrick is nailed on. If we're in the Europa League, it's the grey area. And if we don't get into the Europa League, then it's 100% they'll look for a new manager.
What I like is this is a challenging game tonight. We've got a poor record here. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in his fifth game. You know, we were saying, like, Steve Holland looks good. I still find it weird, but now, like, the Leeds fans will be frothing about Woodgate celebrating. But it'll be interesting what tactical approach, because these will lose a lot of games, so we should fucking... You know, this is the game you again go, right, come on, get the fifth.
I think it's interesting that, you know, when you look at our performance over the season, these are the kind of games where we haven't performed in. So this game is more of a marker than, you know, anything in recent games. You know, to come here and get a result here and really reinforce what we've done over the past 5 games would be absolutely huge for United.
There was one thing going back on the fate and, you know, you've got to be good and lucky, that Sesko's chance was much harder against Fulham when it was 2-2 that he converts to the one at the end on Saturday, where he doesn't, maybe I'm overproving this. Like,
so it's interesting that Carrick has essentially dropped Sesko, and you know, moved either Cunha and Bueno into that number 9 position. We bought Sesko, I thought, partly because he was brilliant with his head. I do not think, correct me if I'm wrong, that he scored a goal with his head yet. So, you know, that it's great to bring on to give us something slightly different. but we're also playing a different brand of football that isn't just whacking into the box expecting someone to head it. I think at the moment we've got the best top, the best four up front you could possibly wish for.
I've been pronouncing it wrong as per usual. It's in Mbeumo, not Mbeumo. But those, both of them, I bloody love it. We said, like, but this is where fans, you know, by proving Premier League players, we did that, and they're both. And Mbeumo is just like, Cunha, I love for the extra factor. Can I just say, I've watched a fucking ridiculous amount of curling this week in the Winter Olympics. I sit down and I'm thinking they're only on the sixth stage, there's two to go. I know fuck all about curling, but I've never been more intrigued in a sport than curling this week.
Well, my little curling story. Well, my little curling story is about, like, it's probably, I'm thinking it was probably like 7, 8, 10 years ago even, we were on a bit of a family ad hoc half term trip to some place in Dorset or Devon or somewhere, which is a bit like a kind of a activity centre place, and they had this like artificial ice rink, and they had like games and activities, so we entered the curling, and we thought it'd be a bit of a crack, and we played in a competition. We played this family who basically, like, we were four, like, quite, like, I guess none of us really wanted to be doing this shit, like, the kids included, and this competitive family played us, and from the off they had gloves on and all sorts, and they started high-fiving. And in the end, like, my teenage son was just like, we were just chucking it down, just trying, in anger, trying to run them out. And I heard the dad go, we've got them rattled, we've got them rattled. And I remember thinking, don't walk off. And I remember them, they were all high-fiving at the end as though it was the Olympics. So curling is I got scarred from
that. Stephen was a listening. I'm a soft ass at the best of times. But R2 finished fourth. Fucking hell, we can't even win one fucking medal in the Winter Olympics. But they were crying and I got upset. And I thought, I am such a soft arse.
Oh, really, Hans, mate.
You cannot be a curling fan unless you could explain the power play to me, Shane.
Right, I have no idea what is going on in it. The other day with the snowboarding, Cortina looked good. I'd love to be on a black. Why can't I be an influencer in a ski resort, like someone buying me red wine? I'd grow my fucking hair for that. You know, like, unless they complete a triple 16.2 in the air, I'm not cutting my hair. Sorry.
So not only that, to... right? Like, so, like, some of us have been watching ice skating since Torvald and Dean.
Never liked them.
No. But 40 years on, none of us have got a clue between the difference between a triple axel and a triple zonk.
You've referenced cutting hair, right? There's a subplot to tonight's game.
Yeah, but let's.
And there's a guy who I don't think any of us would. He's a dickhead, right? But there's a bloke who needs his hair cutting after tonight. Let's hope we bring that fucking victory. And that cunt can just go into the fucking shadows again.
No, don't. Like, let's not, like, fucking even bring that up. It just annoys the shit out of me. But I've got two things.
Here's my softest shite take. He's probably a nice guy who's fucking thought of something to, you know. But it becomes about the story. And like him sitting there tonight, if he's genuinely going, I cannot wait. Come on, United, smash it. Or, like, I mean, the hair, well, it's just bald-head jealousy, isn't it?
Yeah, but if he, like, honestly...
Not you, mate, me.
I don't want to be the miserable git, but if he gets his 15 minutes of fame, makes people, like, and why then, good luck. But there's lads that have gone fucking home and away for, like, we were talking to someone earlier, like, since 53, for fuck's sake. They're the people that should be getting recognised.
Yeah, we
anyway,
met someone today who's been going since 1953 in the pub across here. I mean, like, and never given it the big one. And he won't even write in Red News because that lot, that ilk, you know, don't want to put it out there that they've done that. And you think, that's 72 years as a match-going fan. You know, like, that's just fucking incredible. So where have you just been?
I'm just back from India, Pune.
And you're going to write an article, aren't you?
I am, I promise I will.
But how was, you know, like...
Yeah, yeah, incredible experience. I got to watch the Fulham game with the Pune Reds. Good crowd over there. Yeah, oh, look, great, great crowd. Passionate about United. Some of them had been over for the derby, so they wanted to share all their experiences around that. Some of them had never left Pune, but absolutely adore United. And I guess the most interesting bit was their individual experiences of why do you support United? And it ranged from one lad was like, my school teacher when I was seven had a United rucksack with his badge on with a devil, and I was hooked from that. So another lad saying he saw the David De Gea save against Juan Mata,
right,
the Chelsea game many years ago, right, and he was like, I'd seen that on TV and that got me hooked. Plenty of them wanted to tell me they'd met Andy Mitten, so I think you might need to get over there.
Did anyone say they want to meet me?
You know,
you can be fucking honest.
The floor's open, Barney, get over.
How we link this to, I'm going to go score predictions. I had the norovirus when Matt shot and De Gea saved that. So that brings it back into the bloke who died at the start. Score predictions.
I actually think 3-1 United.
Yes.
Right. 2-0 United.
3-0 United.
Fucking hell.
3-1 United. I'm very wary that all good things come to an end, but 3-1 United.
The Jose gave me a 0-0 still stinks as shitting.
I was here.
That was awful.
And he was just happy to finish second, wasn't
he? Was
Thursday
so
night.
Bad.
Horrendous.
So please, fifth, please.
Hate of the week is dog shit. I trod in dog shit today, and I haven't trod in dog shit for about 15 years, and it. I just sit on a park bench with some hastily bought wet wipes, wiping dog shit off my trainers.
I said, just put it in a fucking puddle. Just put your shoe in a fucking puddle and let the rain water.
Yeah,
we've got enough fucking rain.
It doesn't get everything off.
And did you have something on your face at lunch?
I went to a meeting and some young girl said, you got food on your chin. It was a remnants of a samosa. I think a pea and a bit of potato left.
Gory Man United. Any hates of the week?
Oh, come on. Ever since West Ham left Upton Park, let's be honest, you're a
yeah,
too
so
big...
This is a ridiculous crowd. So this shapes my feelings. Where are you on Old Trafford?
I've been going to Old Trafford since 1970. So 56 years of going there. And believe it or not, I think we need a rebuild. New stadium. I've been to some astonishing stadiums around the world, new builds, and there's no reason why we can't create.
But name me a good one in Europe.
Atletico Madrid.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Wanda Stadium.
It's the one stadium.
I went to the World Cup in Qatar, and the stadiums they built there were utterly astonishing compared to what we have in
Britain. Yeah, but are they football or are they stadiums?
No, they were football. They were football. If you go to the LaSalle Stadium where the final was played, you see a bank which is 1.5 times what you have at Spurs. There's no reason why we couldn't build an astonishing stadium in Manchester.
But look at the Bernabeu. That's the model, isn't it? Keeps reinventing itself.
No, but Old Trafford could be reinvented. I said the damning thing on the Glazers. If they'd have got their act together, we could have done one stand at a time, like we did in the 90s. You know, it would be difficult, but if you really wanted to, you can make Old Trafford the greatest stadium,
well,
like we used to.
But there's a lot of aspects around trying to rebuild Old Trafford, including losing it for multiple years.
Yeah, but they've now got the railway. They could have sorted that if there was a desire. But then it goes, this is where I'm being, I think that, you know, like what we're seeing now are the 299 quids. The new stadium allows a whole reinvention, and knowing that so many of us are getting older at the Old Trafford, you know. But I appreciate, like, it's not very often I hear someone say they want the rebuild.
Yeah, I think you know,
but you've spent 50 years going to this scrum.
Yeah, 56 years. My first game was in 1970, so I'm one of the few people I meet who saw Best, Charlton and Law play together.
So in a modern way, I'm going to hug you. I'm not going to, you know. No, but it's interesting, like, if someone who spent so much of their life at one stadium.
Yeah, because I've seen what it could really be in terms of a footballing experience. And I've not seen any plans which talk about the rebuild of Old Trafford in a way that, you know, allows us to have that same experience yet. But I just think that I would still like to go to Old Trafford for the youth games, for the women's football, but I just feel we could do so much in terms of building a new stadium.
But they won't do, you know, like, and that'll be Everton in a couple of years or go.
But this is the thing, they could, like, technically maybe they could build a new stadium. Like, I agree, Atletico was good. I'm all in for Old Trafford. I'd fucking die in a ditch over that. But
I like Bill Bower, but
if you build a stadium, it's guaranteed three sides of it will be the corporate thing, and then build one end as a token gesture, as like a.
I think that's when they clean the slate with us. It's like
they wash us away at that point.
As in die-hard fans. I think that's when they reset, and it just becomes
the reset.
I just think that, you know, if they do a new sim, they've got to get it right. I mean, I've been to Everton's new stadium, and there are so many things that are absolutely superb about that, and there's so many things they've got absolutely wrong.
Yeah, but Everton fans I know like it. They actually, whereas West Ham fans don't like this. But I mean, the total template for not getting it is this gap. Right.
But look at the Spurs lad, you know, Douglas, who comes and buys a fans in a few. He was singing Old Trafford's praises on Saturday, going, "Always love," and that's someone who's got the youth.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cheers, lads. Thanks for appearing. Right. Let's win. Ben and Zayden, they've got to get off, so I'm not going to talk. I'll talk with Shane later. What do you make of that, mate?
I don't know. It's a bit. Gone a bit backwards, I think, tonight. You know, it's gone. We seem to go back into that sort of mode where we're struggling against to break teams down that are just sitting behind the ball and don't really come out and play too much. But in the end, we still kept to the task, mate. Sesko, what a finish that is, to be fair.
And I just thought it's.
I just hope they go down. Yeah, I cannot stand. How we never beat this lot, I never know.
We weren't brave enough, and we gave them too much respect.
Exactly.
And it's like they were there for
the taking. We looked a bit tired, to be fair. And we're only playing one
match. That worries me that it's the first time we've played a second match.
Yeah.
But we got out of jail, but I thought Manu and Martinez were fucking outstanding tonight.
They were.
But the rest of the team were just not brave enough.
Yeah, I just think they looked a bit knackered. Do you know what I mean? I just think there wasn't enough energy then. You expect a bit of high tempo and a bit of a higher press on the ball, but I just felt like we reverted back to type for this game, if you know what I mean.
But we've drawn, so that I would have been so pissed off, and you think not all the good work undone, but just like we're better than them. They fucking shit.
Exactly.
We
can't
keep coming here and like Ella Coggy. What do you make?
Do you know? So I mean, we always struggle here. We always struggle against Nuno's teams as well.
Yeah.
But let's be honest about it. We didn't play well, but we showed fight and desire at the end.
Yeah.
That we wouldn't have done that 2 months ago. So
exactly. He's right. He's right.
I'm not happy. Well, I am happy because we showed something that we didn't have 2 months ago.
And 13 point. But it's like you come to these places and think. Teams punish them, and we've only won 2 out of 9 now. I'm really happy. But
when Carrick took over, did you think we'd get 13 out of 15?
What I want a good side to do is to say your fifth game, forget about the last four. Now, like, kick on. So let's see how we are after the break.
Right, we've still got weaknesses. No. Right, but
I sound more frustrated than I am. But I just thought we gave them too much. That first half was the one where
we were pedestrian first half. Last 20 minutes,
but
Manu
was
proud of the lads.
World class. Yeah. That's what I'm reading. How did you not play him? Ben, final words.
Just thank goodness for Sesko. That's a great finish.
And it was.
And we didn't give up, which is the good thing, Barney.
Yeah. Right, Zayden, take care of yourselves.
See you later, Barney.
Safe trip, mate. What did you make of that, Mike?
To be honest, I was very disappointed. The slowness of United's play. They were there for the taking. We should have won it. Casemiro's goal should have stood, I thought. And if it had, we would have won that game.
Did you see it coming? I didn't see it coming, that equaliser. I really didn't.
No.
Relegate this side, because at half-time, having a piss, they went like a theatre. It's a five-minute break to the restart. Fuck off. Dave, what did you make of that?
We're
happy
that we scored in the last minute.
Where's Rory when you need him?
And who has a fireworks display at the start of the fucking match?
Right, okay, lads. See you later.
Okay.
I sound more frustrated than I am. And 13 out of 15 points is great. And when you feel frustrated when you've just only drawn, is a good thing. So maybe I'm just like seeing how poor really they were and how much we just like, we didn't gamble enough today. And it'd be interesting to see what Carrick said, but I just thought we could have been braver with the ball. That's all I'm saying. So it's a really good thing. If I've got the ump and I didn't think we'd get the equaliser, and then Huggy behind me said, I think there's one more chance in this game. And fair play Sesko, who came on, and there were a couple of things that didn't come off, a couple of did. And as someone else said, we had Disallowed goal and Xerxes' header. But I don't know, I just felt like that was the winnable game. But seeing Chelsea's lead score after, it's a strange league, and this is never easy, but I just wish it was, because I hate coming here. Their ads pissed us off. That when was it Xerxes' header, and they had winter warmer jackets after the chance. They also had try the hammer hot dog at half time come up. And it was a good test for Carrick. And did we come through it? Well, we didn't lose, and we're not losing again. We're only like, you know, I don't know, I just feel it's a good sign, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah, I think, but listen, I thought first half we were, but they're a poor side, and I thought we were a little bit too cautious at the start, and I thought, you know, it's the sort of game where you get at them and they would buckle. I know it's easier said than done, but at the end of the day, as you said, like I said in the ground, if someone had said 13 out of 15 points going into the derby, you probably wouldn't have believed you. So, you know, it's frustrating. We should have won tonight. It's a game that was definitely winnable, of course. But in the wider scheme, I think, you know, four
wins... It's
just
a bit annoyance. Two points out of this lot. But let it go.
But 4 wins and a draw is a good return. And regroup after break. We're still, you know, Chelsea drew. We're still... we're in a good position. So I think, yeah. And I guess it's that...
Is it the immediacy? Because we're there and we're not seeing any of the other scores.
But I don't want to drop... sort of try and draw too much positive out of it, because it was a poor performance, particularly first half. But the fact of the side is, you know, we did scrape something out of it, you know, and that shows a bit of resilience, a bit of grit, a bit of fight. So yeah, I'm not too down about that. I think in the wider scheme of things, as I say,
if we'd have lost that, it had the end. What I love about you've just mixed crisps and peanuts. Yeah. It's taken us a Norbert. We've got those stop-start fucking green go red signs. It takes ridiculous time to get out of there. Just please don't stay up.
Yeah, don't ever. I know it's a bit different because it was the context of the stadium, but people wishing for a new stadium, just be very careful for what you wish for. I know we talked about it before the game, but yeah, this whole kind of, you know, trying to merge a shopping centre with a football ground, and the you know, you have to walk 500 yards to go 10 yards in a one-way system afterwards is just ludicrous. But yeah, it's a crap place to come. We scraped a draw. There's probably things to criticise, but at the end of the day, I think we'll wake up and think that's a half decent point, you know?
Yeah, thinking 87, we just looked like we weren't doing the right things apart from Xerxes. If you think Xerxes and Casemiro's headers, then you do that a little bit more, especially with the height we had.
Yeah, I thought it was
so
strange,
weren't coming off. So to get the equaliser when things aren't coming off for you is a good point.
But you called it out of the game. Five games ago, Kobbie Mainoo wasn't getting a whiff. And Kobbie Mainoo was our best player by a mile tonight, I thought. So
I thought that was his best out of the five. I thought he was world class tonight, and that's damning on Amorim. How could you not see that? I mean, you had him 5 days a week in training not to see. I thought he's just winning the balls. Casemiro looked tired, didn't he? I've advocated for him to play 90 all the time.
Well, I had an argument with someone earlier in the day who said, you know, maybe it's time to rest his legs. But I'm thinking, if you're paying him what you're paying him, you should be expecting him to play. But I thought he's, like, obviously he's a class player, but his balls got a little bit lazy, I thought, second half. And it was, you know, and I guess that's just tiredness, and he hasn't got the energy. But they were a bit half-hearted, and he tried to play a few balls that didn't come off, and I thought, but yeah
I thought Delay was poor second half. I'd have taken him off earlier.
Particularly on a yellow card as well. If you're having a poor game like that, you're going to do something a bit desperate. So I thought that was a bit strange, but yeah. I don't know why Maguire come off. Was it just
Martinez had the ball? The amount of times it would be sideways, Martinez. Not a bad thing, because I thought he handled it well. But it's just sometimes when Shaw and Ahmad were overlapping, I thought that's too samey. Yeah. And like with Bruno and Bremer, and you think, and Bremer's got 10 goals, get him in the middle. But right, fuck it. It's just a pointless argument.
Yeah, but anyway,
people will be talking about a bloke with hair.
But in the day, it upset them. they had their bubble machine for 10 minutes when they scored. The scoreboard, that huge scoreboard
winter
beyond the goal,
warmers.
With,
gonna buy winter
with constant advertising. What has football come to playing that? And it's just, yeah, it's by far, I know we've repeated this every time I come here, and it's not, well, that people feel pity.
But there are some it's an awful, been a lift, haven't we, where people, yeah. I'm staying there again, like, you know, we've got Bournemouth evening kickoff, see you then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, they've got some old school,
yeah.
But they must hate it, must they?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, you'd be heartbroken, wouldn't you, if you were, like, there's the lad that, like, sort of, always come to say hello to you. Is it Paul that does a DJ in the music? You know, an old school West Ham lad, and you know, kind of you got a feel for them having to, like, this is your,
but
this is your outlet.
92 sending them down, 95 sending them down. Tevez, the Tevez goal where they stayed up. It's like just right. Any other philosophical remarks to put the world to rights?
I had a hate of the week. Well, I done dog shit, didn't I? The other hate of the week is, I don't know if we've had it before, it's that, like, insurance TV deals. Like, my Virgin come up for renewal recently. Like, it, you know, I was paying 90 quid a month or something, broadband, all the channels and all this kind of stuff, yeah. And it's decent internet. And then the renewal comes in, it's like 250 quid. I'm like, where are you getting this from? You know, I've been here.
What, a month?
Yeah, and I phoned up and said, you know, yeah. This is ludicrous. Like, I'm leaving, you know, just cancel it. I'm not doing this annual hagging thing. And within 5 minutes, it's back down to 90 quid. And I'm like, but why are you doing...
Because they're,
like,
waiting on one person.
Yeah, you're waiting. Like, I said, I get what you're doing. I know the game you're playing, but, like, it's the opposite of rewarding loyalty. So that's my another hate of the week.
Everyone.
Dog shit.
Everyone's
and there's noise. But the insurers, it's like, yeah, but it used to be...
Apart from fanzines.
Fanzines, yeah.
I hope the AMAD interview goes well. I've got, as you say, I need
to... I actually think in my eyes, I think it's a bigger, like, a younger upcoming... I think Ahmad's probably, in some ways, the bigger player to interview, you know. It'd be interesting...
It'd be interesting to see what he says, but sure, I was just interested because he, you know, sit down with our fans and he's had so many highs and lows. What do you really think, Luke? You know, we don't even know him, really, do we?
Well, I would have... Well, I said to the lad, you know... If I was interviewing him, I'd take him a pair of decent sized shin pads, for fuck's sake. You know, these little shin pads.
Right.
That's all I've got to say.
Who says that? That's all I've got to say about that.
I don't know.
But unusual not selling. It's nice seeing lots of people. I don't know. I wake up and think, if you've got a moan about that, and it's not the 12 before, it's just take every game. And do you know what? The overriding thing is, if we'd have been a bit more braver, the amount of teams who've come here this season and, like, gone 2-0 up game mode, they get the crowd against them. But that's all you've got to worry about at the moment.
And I guess it's good, like, you know,
we've got a break now.
Fair play Tuesday night. I know we haven't got Europe and there's no cups, but there are a lot of lads down from Manchester and a good lot of young lads down. And it's good to see United have a, you know, we were in the lower tier and at the front there
was
a good set of young lads that you see at Wasey's Day, so that's good to see as well.
I think there's a lot of crisp eating in this. I apologise. Take care of yourselves, everyone. Up the fucking Reds. 13 out of 15. Make it fucking 16 out of 18 next go. Take care of yourselves. Good luck, Nick and Nathan.